Driving all by myself. Just driving around in the car. Driving in the car. Where am I gonna go? I'm gonna go home. Home, going home. Driving my car all alone. It's really dark on this twisty, windy road that I'm taking, because the highway's broken. They broke the highway with their mobile vehicles. They crashed. And now I can't take the right way home. I have to drive by myself. Yeah, all alone. I'm all alone driving in my car. Got nowhere to go but home.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the WizWid Hockey Podcast. It's been a while. We're a little bit busy people, so sometimes we forget. But I am your host, Drew, and with me, as always, we got Devin.
Hey, do you know how geese fly in a V?
Sure.
Do you ever notice that one line's longer than the other?
Yeah.
Do you know why?
Why?
There's more geese in that line.
And Kush.
That's up. That's all I got.
Yeah. So we said we're gonna do every
fire hack. There we go.
Yeah, hashtag fire hack. We said we're gonna do every other week. But however, we're busy people. I close a lot because I work retail and retail sucks. So yeah. Plus hockey gets in the way. You know, it's a whole thing. So yeah, quick things. We missed some games. Last time we were with us, we were watching the Flyers Blue Jackets game. We lost that game 6-3. By the way, Christian Follin became Christian Fallen. And, yeah, that's the highlight of that, and that's sad. Then we came home against the Devils. We won 5-2, so that was cool. That was nice. Yeah. And then lost 4-1 on the road against Colorado. Well, fuck. And then at home against Colorado. And then we lost 3-0 on the road in Boston, and that was fucking shit. And then we lost 6-1.
Real quick
at
on
home.
The Boston game. I
Look
love
at their,
how
can Boston. I just finish? I got two things. And then we can go back to the Boston game. We lost 6-1 at home against the Islanders. And how the fuck do we lose 6-1 to the fucking Islanders? Hashtag fire Axtell. Also, Andy McDonald got scratched after the Boston game. Okay, go ahead, Kush. The Boston
game. I was saying about the Boston game, I love how Boston fans on Twitter were complaining that their team looked not as good as they normally do.
They won 3-0.
I had some gears to grind.
You talk about a team looking bad. Look at the team that just played. Well, then again, I'd be mad too if we only won 3-1 against a or 3-0 against a shit team. Dev, anything about those games that we want to touch on?
Well, luckily for me, for whatever reason, I don't even know if I watched any of those games. My brother was getting married.
One
and
two.
Then it was like I was on vacation for the Avalanche game and the Vegas game.
Vegas.
And then, like, yeah, wasn't there a Vegas game? Or I don't know. Like, I just feel like I haven't really gotten a chance to watch any games until this road trip.
Well,
oddly enough. So, yeah. My thoughts, though, are a big, loud, wet fart.
Yeah. One other thing to note about that Islanders game is Michael Neuwirth played. He did it. He came in and played and then immediately got hurt.
And then died.
Yep. Paper mache man is indeed made of paper mache.
Let's just have a memorial service.
We will. Well, you know what? Maybe next time we'll have a nice little memorial service. But yeah,
we can all say some nice things.
Yeah, yeah. He was good that one time before he got hurt, and then another time before he got hurt again, and then another time before he got hurt again. It's a sad cycle, honestly.
The deja vu.
Yeah, so after that debilitating loss against the Islanders, the Flyers are hit a West Coast road trip, starting in Anaheim. And guess what, boys? We won 3-2. Goals for the Flyers scored by Couturier, Provorov, and Patrick. Aberg scored twice for Anaheim. Elliott had 23 saves on 25 shots. We almost blew it. Very key. But with just 21 seconds after Aberg tied it, Patrick scored the game-winning goal with 1:51 left to go in the third. How, yeah, it was a nice turnaround instead of just absolutely losing it. But, yeah, I mean, we won against a team that's decent and put their backup goalie in.
They're not even decent right now. They're bad right now. They were in a similar situation to the Flyers, but kind of worse.
Yeah.
So it's not really an impressive win, but, like, good. You got it done. You did it.
We did it.
Thank you for beating the team for once that you're supposed to beat.
A backup goalie in. Yeah. We never beat backup goalies. It's so nice.
We beat a lot of backup goalies this week, didn't we?
We did.
Well, that's because all the teams put them in.
And
none of them take it seriously.
Kings had no choice either. John Quick's hurt. Also, that clicking, Dev's driving right now.
I am driving. I'm turning left at a traffic light.
So no Chef Devin today. It's race car driver Devin.
Uber Devin.
Patiently. Uber Devin.
Uber Devin, I'm going to record your conversations. Post them to OttawaCitizen.com.
Saddest thing about that is...
I might beep at somebody.
We have the 29th ranked penalty kill. Who's worth the Flyers?
That was the best part about the Ottawa video.
It was so sad.
The leaked video is them shitting all over their own PK only to learn that they're not the worst, that the Philadelphia Flyers are, in fact, way worse.
Yes. And Ottawa's, like, at this point, they're pretty much... I mean, they've been doing okay this season, but they've been trying to... I think they're, what, they should be tanking at this point. They are a severely worse team than the Flyers.
Do they have a first-round pick?
No, I don't think so.
Why tank?
I guess, they are on paper a severely worse team than the Flyers. And the Flyers are supposed to be this team that's taken a step forward. And here's a team that's laughing about how bad they are. And the Flyers are worse than them.
Yeah.
That's
in one particular thing.
Or one particular, yeah.
Yeah.
Ottawa, but so that one particular thing.
Ottawa is only tied with us in points, so it's fine.
Could you imagine what the Flyers Uber ride? Like, what do they say about Ian LaPerriere?
What do they say about Haxtell?
I can't understand anything he says because he doesn't have any teeth because he blocked a shot with his face
16 times. But he's a penalty kill master. All right. Anyways, so after the Anaheim game, we go to L.A. We play L.A. We went 5-2. Goals by Provorov, Simmons, Lindblom, Giroux, and Hag. L.A. goals by Jeff Carter, High and Wide. And Ilya Kovalchuk. Elliot had 25 saves on 27 shots. Decent game against a bad team with another backup goalie in because, what's his name? John Quick's hurt. And when I say bad team,
I'll say
last in the West team.
Elliot actually looked pretty decent that game, Drew.
Yeah.
To your credit, he looked okay.
And then you know what happened?
Well, then he got hurt.
Yeah. Connected right into him in practice.
How many shots against him in that game?
27.
If the shots are in the 20s, Elliot does pretty okay. As soon as they cross that 30 threshold.
If it's crossing the 30 threshold, it also means the defense isn't playing as well.
So no, because
I'm sure it's a different quality.
No, that's not true, because average shots against is in the 30s.
Yeah.
It's like normal. Like a normal.
It's like 31 or 32.
Shots. Yeah. So most games you're gonna live 30 shots, even if you're a good defense.
So he's finally adjusting to those pads, too, because they said that they streamlined the chest protector.
He was getting bruises, like, all over him. He actually wrote a letter to player safety about it.
Yeah, well,
Is that because of the pads or because he's just old and bruises easily now?
Nah, it's because of the pads.
Well, there's been other goalies complaining about it, too. Like,
yeah, it's not just him.
I just take a shot.
It's just one of those things.
He said he's not worried too much about it in games, but it's practices that kill him. Before, like, the morning skates, because people, you know, they're just taking shots on that.
Yeah, didn't he say he was just wearing his old pads for practices?
Well, they said that he really can't, because you have to, like, get comfortable and break in the new equipment, so...
Yeah.
That's true. It's kind of a lose-lose. Yeah, I mean, Bob said he's afraid of the puck now.
Yeah, so Elliot actually didn't participate in morning skate that morning, and he played pretty decent, to his credit.
Yeah.
And
then I think it's not after that game, but I think it's after the next game. Mr. Travis Konecny ran into him in practice, injured his head. And then today, Elliot's back like on the active roster. He's practicing again today, and Voracek rings one off his head.
What do they do in practice? Like, why are they always killing each other?
I don't know. It's got to. It's however Haxtell has the practices laid out. It's like, oh, you got to play hard, or else, you know, you don't make the team because it's a college mentality, and then people get hurt.
Yeah, I guess it gets you threatened to bench them. Right? Yeah. It sucks because, like, even though I hate Dave Haxtell, I don't want to actively root for the Flyers to lose. But
I say that all the time.
But they really pick the worst time to hit to like a stride.
To win? Yeah. No, because we could have just lost. He could have been fired. We could have Quinville now. Everything would have been fine. But instead, we had to fucking win games.
Part of me doesn't think that Haxtell would have fired him, though. Like, really, part of me doesn't believe that. Like,
are we in the portion of the show where I can say things that are in the, like, update?
Sure.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Kush.
No, wait, I'm thinking, what update?
Yeah, what update? What are you talking about?
Update's not the word I wouldn't say. Outline. But you were on a roll there, and you yelled at Kush for interrupting you earlier. I didn't get yelled at.
No, it's fine. It's fine. What?
It was really scary when you yelled. It's, at
well, I just had I literally had one sentence to say.
I thought he was going to fire just me right there.
Nah, I got the Haxtell mentality. Go ahead.
What if this is just because the Flyers can't just suck in October, no matter what?
I mean. Yeah, they've always gotten off to terrible starts. They do bad in October, but I feel like that's been the past 3 or 4 years. And
that was, but that was before Haxtell came.
Well,
in
that
too.
Was the no, first.
I think they were bad even under Laviolette.
Yeah,
too,
it was
they just like always been bad.
Well, that was the season that Laviolette got fired. That they were really bad in October, but he only lost like 3 or 4 games, and then they fired.
It was
yeah,
three games.
Games.
It was,
and then they fired him. Games. And that was considered bad in October. And then I think they did bad with Berube in October, but I don't really count that. And then
they did terrible.
But then, you know, you give Dave Haxtell the first year. It's like, okay, whatever. And then after that, I don't think they should still be doing this bad in October. Like, that shouldn't be an accepted fact.
If you remember, I had them going like 9-3-1.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They should be.
But they really should have done that. Like, I mean, JVR and Nolan Patrick got hurt right off the bat. Like, I understand. But they weren't playing high-caliber teams. Like, they should have beat Vegas twice. They should beat teams like Arizona and L.A. and Anaheim. But they just – like, you shouldn't lose to the Islanders. You should be able to take one of two against Colorado.
That Islanders game was the worst thing I've ever seen. Like, and that's after watching them lose 8-2 at home.
I just don't understand why he still has a job. It's his fourth year. Like, you can't expect, like, oh, it's another slow start. That's what we do. That's not an excuse any fucking more. You're right. If it's his first season, all right, fine, it's his first season. He's still trying to get, like, used to the pro game. It's his fourth fucking season. Like, there should be no, like, leash. It should be a noose wrapped around his fucking head. Jesus.
Well, I think what like how Haxtell is defending it is that this is like the first time he is giving them like a quality roster. But
if you have a quality roster,
you had four years to see how he handled a bad roster, and it's not like he made a bad roster better. So there's nothing that he's done that should like fill you with confidence.
I think too, like it's irritating because. Like, when Claude Julien was on the market last season, what was it last season? Or the year before?
It was two seasons ago.
We all figured that wasn't going to happen. Hack was still in, you know, early on in his contract. But, like, and I didn't know if Julien would have, how well he would have fit with Philadelphia. But I think Quenneville, he would be the perfect coach. And all that experience, all of it would. But of course, I have no.
So Drew, I know Drew doesn't listen to sports radio because he can't handle it. But on the morning show today, they brought that up randomly, and Jonesy and Al Morganti, who were like the old head Flyers guys, basically in media, both said Quinville has no chance of coming here because he's the kind of guy who wants control of the whole organization, and Hextall wouldn't
because
Hextall wants control.
I agree with it, and I agree with I mean, they're gonna use that as an excuse. Plugged in. So
I would hire him in a heartbeat, but I'm just saying
You're right, though. Hextall's not going to want to give up control. Quenneville's a guy that's going to want that control. And I think he'd be perfect in Philadelphia. But
you know what's frustrating about that, though, is if Hextall wants to have control, like, you don't have control with your coach now. You had to send Sanheim down. You had to send Voibrev down. Like, you had to send guys you want on the team down because your coach won't play them. So how much control do you have?
I'm going to get into Hextall a little bit later, but Hextall is as much to blame, honestly.
At this point,
at the end of this season, if he doesn't make him like get rid of Hextall, I think you got to get rid of Hextall. As good as he is, his contracts.
Yeah,
I hate to do it too, but because who are you replacing Hextall with?
Could be unproven. Like, GMs are different than
my
coach.
Thing with other GMs, though, is that they there are some really dumb GMs out there. There are a lot of them. Hextall's proven to be smart with drafting and cap space and all that, and now he's kind of coming into an era where he needs to start making the current team better. The one thorn in his side is Hextall, and he doesn't realize it.
The whole entire coaching staff.
That's what I was going to say. Hextall has one really big weakness, and it's his coach and his coaching staff, like his whole coaching staff. Everything else he does above average, I think. And it's kind of hard to find a GM that does that because there's a lot of really dumb GMs out there who are going to sign Laterras and Fippolas to long-term contracts. You remember all the bad contracts the Flyers have? Hextall didn't sign any of them. He traded for a couple of them, but like they were roster moves. They were, you know, trade Braden Chen, get 2 first-round draft picks, and take Jory Laterra. Like, that's part of the deal. So I'm hesitant to be like, fire Hextall, but I will criticize him. This is an issue he has, and he has to correct it. And I'll add one more thing, though. We see this a lot where a GM comes in, fixes everything, loads the farm system up, and then the team doesn't, like, turn around right away. People get impatient and they fire him, and then the new guy comes in and suddenly the team's good, but he hasn't even done anything yet. Like, I think Ray Shiro kind of did that for the Penguins, and then what's-his-face, the old guy, came in, and then the Penguins won the Cups. So, yeah.
All right. Let's move forward, because I think we've shown our frustration a lot with those fellows, the H's. But yeah, after the Kings game, we go to San Jose. We lose a bad one, 4-3 in overtime. Patrick Wheelan-Voracek scored for the Flyers. Timo Meier scored twice, including the game-winning goal, just 13 seconds in the overtime. Pavelski and Thornton are the other two goal scorers. Picard played in net. He had 31 saves on 35 shots. We were outshot, outplayed, and blew the lead.
Yeah, that was a game that like felt like we were going to lose the entire time, and I was shocked. The
entire third period.
Yeah, and I thought that I don't know. I think the entire game they might have had a big push in the second, but I didn't think they played particularly well. I thought it was weird too because Pickard made a bunch of mistakes, like he turned it over a lot, and it didn't end up in the back of our net. So I don't think he was good, but
no.
But he battled himself out a lot.
I have
lot,
to say that
– I don't know. I don't know how you evaluate that.
I have to say that was one of the weirdest games that the Flyers fan I've ever watched. I've never seen a team get outplayed in like everything, like offensively, defensively, and in goaltending, and still like somehow not ever be behind in the game and lose. Like the Flyers were never down in that game and they lost.
Mm-hmm.
Like they lost in overtime. So it was weird because it wasn't like Picard was playing – lights out. Like he was playing like I was like he's
that
playing
seemed like a game
bad,
we were
but he's getting kind of lucky. The defense was weird. The offense was just like scoring off the rush randomly.
I felt like a game that we definitely like It felt like we were supposed to lose like 6-2 or something.
That's we got outshot by 10 shots.
Yeah, we stole a point. Really. Like,
very rarely had a we were under in the faceoff circle. They had 51%. We had 49%. We did have 28 hits to their 13 and 16 to 6 in their and blocks. But I mean, it didn't.
That just goes to show how much they had the puck.
Fun. It just we were talking about it while watching. It just this looks like a game we're gonna blow the lead and lose. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, you were just waiting for it to happen, and then you're like, "Oh, thank God, I got the loser point." But and then they lost in overtime in spectacular 13
seconds.
Fashion.
Boom, done.
Like, what the hell happened?
It was I think it was miscommunication. Like, I think Ghost was expecting Voracek to go for the puck, and then Voracek was expecting Ghost to go for the puck, and they kind of just stared at each other. And then that was that.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah. It was bad. It was sad. I mean, when you get bowled over the entire game, 13 seconds into overtime with that much space isn't really that much of a surprise, to be honest with you.
That overtime period felt like how the rest of the game should have went.
Yeah.
That game was really frustrating, too, because it was like, it wasn't frustrating, really. It was just, it kind of like confirmed my worst fears, which was the Flyers won those two road games against two teams that are bad or struggling, and then they play a good team. And it's like, okay, here you go. Now you got your chance, measuring stick, see where you stand, and you played like crap. But you get the loser point, and you had to lead most of the game, so like it can be spun as a positive, even though we should be, at this point in the schedule, at the San Jose game, we should be just as concerned as we were after the Islanders.
Hoping they like, would lose in regulation because that would have looked worse. And I think I don't know, like Dev's right, like you take the loser point and somehow that looks good, like they finished the road trip 3-0-1, so they look at that 0-1 and then they could be like, oh, at least we got the point out of that game, we played really good, we got a loser point.
Just by the way, as a hockey fan, when you look at your team's record, don't say it like 3-0-1. Just say it as wins and losses, and like things will look way more realistic to you. When you look at the Flyers last year, like, oh, they were third in a Metro. But then you're like, oh, those 14, that 14 number, those are losses. And then it's
then
like,
technically, they're like finishing under 500 every season.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, like I don't do the hockey 500. I do like
Hockey 500 is just point
better.
Percentage. That's all that shit is. But yeah, after that heartbreak,
I did air quotes by the way. You can't see that.
After that heartbreak, we go to Arizona, play another bad team, win 5-2. Drew scored twice. Gossett Spear with one. Couturier and Lindblom scored. For Arizona, Galchenyuk and Panik scored. Picard had 34 saves on 36 shots, but it was a good all around game. Honestly, it was a little bit boring just because it didn't feel like there was any threat to it. I did see something on Twitter afterward.
Thank God we finally beat Arizona.
I did see something on Twitter after the game, though. It says, Calvin Pickard is looking solid. And I would just like to say you are not watching the same game as everybody else, because even though he played decently well, he is just so technically unsound, and it looks like he's like ready to fall over every 2 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, Pickard,
there's nothing.
Not an answer in net, and anybody.
There's nothing solid about him.
I mean, he might have had like a decent game, but
solid. Not the word.
He might have had a decent game, but that's definitely
lucky.
Not gonna hold up in any capacity at all. And I mean, Arizona is a better team than their record states, but I don't think they're like you know, an elite team that the Flyers should. Yeah, the Flyers should.
Nah.
Realistically, I think the Flyers should be able to at least hang with the elite teams, but they're not going to be. And you could beat Arizona again. Arizona is a good team. I mean, I expect the Flyers should be able to beat those good teams, and I don't think that with Picard behind you that you're going to keep winning games like that. But
well, that was a good game, though.
I think
They handled an inferior team. They did what they had to do.
No, I agree with you. It was a good game. It was boring to me. I just didn't care about it.
I thought that was the most, and I don't know why, but I just Because the Ducks game, I thought, was boring. I didn't particularly, enjoy the L.A. game. I thought it was okay. San Jose was god-awful. So I thought out of that road trip, the Arizona one was the most fun I had watching. I'm not necessarily.
Well, that's the first game we've seen, really, where, like, they just looked like a solid team the whole way through, all three periods. Like, yeah, I think Arizona had, like a
push or something.
Runs where they were out shooting them for like a period of time, but like that
I think we're losing Dev a little bit here, so I'm just gonna pick it up and hopefully he comes back in a second. With that game, I mean, the reason why I say it's boring is just like there was no drama to it, and that's a good thing.
What the end, didn't they try killing each other? There's a
I didn't watch that game.
Yeah,
I,
at the I end they were sleep. Getting real. There was some like right before the game was over. Like, I forget who, somebody went after somebody, and then at the very end, after the horn sound, they had Gudas brawling with somebody. I forget who else was involved, but there was, like, a big scrum in the corner. Simmons was in there. It was pretty entertaining.
Yeah. I think we got Dev back now. Hey, Dev.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we can. Yeah.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
You just must have went through, like, a week's.
I could hear you guys the whole time.
Thank you, Mr. Robot. But yeah, one thing I'd like to quickly talk about with goalie, because I just thought about it, because we were talking about Picard, is and now we've officially lost Dev. Brian Elliott. You know, we were talking about him with the pads and stuff like that, the new shoulder pads and chest protector and stuff like that. He's been playing like really far back in his crease, and I wonder if that has to do with it.
Maybe.
If it's just like a subconscious mental
thing. Granted, I don't think he's the Flyers' answer in net. I don't think he's particularly good anyway. I still stand behind the fact that if we never had that falling out with Steve Mason, he'd absolutely be the best option right now. I'm not saying best option.
But he's also not coming back.
Hextall would never bring him back just because of the bad vibe that he had with the team. He had that whole falling out scenario. They're not going to bring him back, nor would I expect them to. I'm just saying if that fallout didn't happen, he would be right now the best option.
Yeah. Yeah, it's – I don't know. Goalies are interesting. Elliot was better until he got hurt.
I don't think he was good to start the season at all until right before he got hurt.
Until the road trip. Yeah, the last two games.
He played decent. I thought he played really good, I think, against the Kings, and then he got hurt right after that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Dwyerth, it's a shame. Guy can't just stay healthy.
At this point, it sucks for him, but – somebody made the point, too, that they said Neuver should just call it a career, but I made the counterpoint. People are still handing me money to have my groin consistently pulled or have my shoulder fall off, then I'm going to accept millions of dollars to sit on the couch.
And then quickly, after Elliot got hurt, they called up Lyon, and then they sent him back down today. So he was up for what?
Yeah, game? I mean, he was just there to fill a void for Elliot.
It was just a safety thing. Yeah. And we got Dev back. So quickly, we're going to go over the season leaders so far. In points, the top five are Drew, Voracek, Simmons, Lindblom, and Patrick. Lindblom and Patrick have 8. Simmons has 10. Voracek has 15. Drew has 17. In goals, Simmons has 7. Drew has 6. Couturier has 5. And then Voracek, Lindblom, Patrick, and Lawton all have 4. For the assists, the leaders are Drew and Voracek with 11. And then Ghost, Konechny, Sanheim, and Gudas with 5. Keep in mind, the last time we recorded a podcast, Gudas also had 5 assists at that time. So he has not been producing, which nobody really expects him to because he's Radko Gudas.
He's still Drew, pretty solid.
Oh, yeah, no. But I'm talking about offensively. Yeah, nobody's expecting him to produce offensively. Defensively, he's doing what he's supposed to do. Drew, he's a god. He's still just the best player on the team, hands down. Simmons, we touched on this before. He's playing as well as he's ever been now that he's healthy. Voracek, same thing. He's playing great. And Lindblom and Patrick, rising stars. You've seen it on this road trip especially. These two have played out of their minds. They're playing fantastic hockey right now. Don't you think so,
Dev? I'm afraid you can't hear me.
Okay. Yeah, we can. We can.
I love Lindblom. I love how he goes behind the net and he passes it to Patrick, and Patrick scores. I love it.
It's
good play.
Honestly, just if you follow Dev on Twitter, you will know that.
Just everyone should do it. Just go behind the net, pass it to the centerman who's in front of the net. The goalie can't track it, and he'll score.
Yes. Yes, indeed you do. But yeah, one
power play should do that too.
Power play should do a lot of things that they don't do. Real quick, I just wanted to touch on something because these are all the last time the Flyers did not give up a power play goal in the game was against the Blue Jackets. Since then, that's what 8 games in a row with giving up a goal on the penalty kill, and they gave up 2 twice, once to the Devils and once to the Bruins in that span. Obviously, the penalty kill is hot garbage, but just wanted to point that out.
This is me right off, Drew. Yeah.
Pisses everybody right off.
In the words of Ron Hextall, pisses me right off. Won't do anything about it.
Pisses you right off.
But it makes me mad.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyways, Kush, you wanted to bring up the topic.
Yeah, so...
you wanted to see who's better.
Recently, there's been a debate going around Twitter about who's the better defenseman, either Gostisbehere or Ivan Provorov. And I kind of wanted to touch on that because I think there is an answer to it, but I think Gostisbehere gets so underrated in his defensive game, which is dumb, that I think Gostisbehere and Provorov are much closer than people realize, as far as being good defensemen. And I think there are certain things that Gostisbehere does a lot better than Provorov, and I think you can interchange him as number one defenseman.
I think you're right with the Gostisbehere. I think where he's a bit underrated, especially in terms of his defensive aspects, but I think Provorov's a better all-around defenseman, where he's much better defensively in one-on-one comparison when you break it down. He's better defensively. He's your workhorse. He can play 25 minutes a game. He can block shots. He's up on the play. He drives the play, from the blue line. He does everything right. I mean, he's had a slow start to the year, but he's picked it up the past couple games. I think Ghost is unmatched with his offensive ability on the team. He's just the best offensive defenseman on the team. He's probably top 6 in terms of the league. He's phenomenal at what he does, especially with just the playmaking abilities, let alone putting shots on net and things like that. But in my book, they're definitely close. But Provorov gets it for me.
So what if I told you there was a...
what if I told you, Drew, that there was a statistic that we could measure how many goals that from the shots generated by the other team, how many that you'd expect the other team to score? And what if I told you Shane Gostisbehere has a better expected goals against than Ivan Provorov?
Isn't that supposed to be a goal set?
That is... It's a team stat.
It's a team stat, really.
But you can measure measure it by player. And when Shane Gostisbehere's out on the ice, he's over the course of the first 15 games. And I can go back to next season, too, or last season.
I would rather you go back to last season because, like I said, Provorov's had a rough start to this season.
And this is all at 5-on-5. Ghost has had less – so we're not counting the penalty kill because Ivan Provorov – only plays, Shane Gostisbehere doesn't get much time on the penalty kill.
Much on the penalty.
So, at 5-on-5, Ivan Provorov last year, expected goals against was 104.5. So, and that's how much he gave up, too. He gave up 100, when he was on ice, he gave up 104 goals, and the expected goals against was 104.5. Shane Gostisbehere was 91.9. So, when he was on the ice, the quality of chances that the other teams got should have led to about 91 goals. Realistically, he only gave up 88, but about 91 goals when Shane Gostisbehere was on the ice against.
Now, I'm gonna let you go in a second, but I would just like to point out that you saying that he doesn't play on the penalty kill also adds to my argument because that means that he's not trusted defensively.
But I think he should be trusted on the penalty kill. I think Ivan Provorov's a great defenseman. I love Ivan Provorov, and you could definitely interchange him and Gostisbehere, number one. I'm just saying that this notion that Ivan Provorov plays better defense than – or much better defense than Shane Gostisbehere is, I think, a little absurd. And I think Shane Gostisbehere should definitely get time on the penalty kill. I think the statistics show that he should. And, I mean, if you have guys like last year, I think, what, Manning got time on the penalty kill. Gudas, who's – I mean, better this year, but last year Gudas was really bad. I lost Dev again. But I think
– yeah, we did.
I think that Shane Gostisbehere, A, deserves to be on the penalty kill, along with Ivan Provorov. I'm not like, making an argument that Shane Gostisbehere is lightning, like way better, lightning, or light years ahead of Ivan Provorov, or even as good, but I'm making an argument that he's almost as good. And if Ivan Provorov's in a strut, Shane Gostisbehere could easily slot in as the number one guy.
Yeah, so since Provorov's been in the league, because he came in afterwards, the Flyers have given up 110 goals on the penalty kill and have given up 333 on 5-on-5. Obviously, the numbers are skewed for a reason, but because obviously there's more time 5-on-5. But at that same time, I know you were just comparing it, but a lot of things, I don't know. Provorov just feels more sound to me. I feel like I could trust him at any moment. Whereas Gostisbehere, on our team, he probably should play on the penalty kill. But on most teams, he shouldn't.
See, I don't think, like, I think if you're, because right now it's generally accepted that Shane Gostisbehere is your number two. Like, that's generally accepted that he's the, you know, in the depth chart, you have Ivan Provorov first, Shane Gostisbehere second. I think if you're second on the depth chart on any team, you should be playing on the penalty kill. I think there's enough evidence to show that Shane Gostisbehere has a high offensive talent. Like his talent for scoring goals and making creative offensive plays is off the charts. But I think that it's so off the charts that people underrate his defensive game. And I think his defensive game is just as good.
Does Erik Karlsson play on the penalty kill in San Jose?
That I do not know, but I know Erik Karlsson's having a severely underrated year. And I know you hate Corsi for, but he's having the best year in terms of puck possession that he's had in his entire career. Granted, it's only 15 games, but still, I think his career in San Jose is being exaggerated.
No. He's lost it. He's down. He's down on his luck. He's not good anymore. He should have stayed in Ottawa.
I don't think anybody should say. Right? I don't think anybody should stay in Ottawa. But he is having an exaggerated bad year. And I'm taking a look at his statistics, his expected goals against, and his expected goals against. I think to bring it back up, but I think it was like 8, and his actual goals against was like 16. So it's just like bad luck that's playing in with him through the first 15 or so games, because like I said, expected goals measures the quality of chances that the other team's getting and what are the percentages of those chances going in, and that's where you get those numbers from. And from what the numbers are saying, Erik Karlsson should not be getting scored on as much as he is. So there's other contributing factors into what's going on. Mainly the goaltending, because I don't think Martin Jones has been that good this year either. I would know. I have him on my fantasy team.
Speaking of fantasy team, I have Antti Raanta. He's just got put on the IR, so
you deserve that, by the way.
Yeah, well, it should have been you.
I was going to pick him up if they didn't put Jones on the do not drop list. But so back to Provorov and Ghost. I think on any given night, I think you're usually going to get Provorov, you know, he's going to play more minutes. But I don't think it should be out of the question that Shane Gostisbehere could also fill minutes that are needed. Example, the penalty kill.
Does he have the stamina to play 25 minutes a game?
He's playing 21 minutes a game, so 4 extra minutes? I don't know. Oh.
It's a lot.
I know. Provorov is like a workhorse. He's got all that, you know, he's got the good recovery between shifts. I don't know, but I assume, you know, these guys are professional athletes. It's not like the 70s or 80s anymore where you do a keg stand after you won a game. But, You know, they all they're all on the they're all the NHL players, they do their specialized diets now. They're all on workout routines, all that stuff.
I know. I was just saying, like, we could just, you know.
I mean, team bonding.
Dude,
I'd be
cake
fine
stands.
With cake stand
yeah.
hockey again.
Cake stand? I mean, hey, at least you fought, like, you loved each other instead of, you
but
know.
But I do think.
Being assholes.
I do think that, I think he'd be fine handling that much time, especially given who the other defensemen are. I mean, Christian Fallin, again, I don't think he's had as bad of a year as people are making him out or, you know, making it out that he's having, but I don't think he's been good in the sense that he should be on this roster every night. Granted, I think he's been better than Andrew McDonald to start this year, and that's why he should be on the roster right now, but I don't think he should be, like, a permanent fixture on this roster.
Well, McDonald hasn't played since the Boston.
Yeah, and I actually like that they're – healthy scratching him. Now they sit. Now again, it could be because of that injury that he got at the beginning of the year. But Haxtell was asked if McDonald is just taking some extra time with the injury, and he said no, that they're just rolling with the defenseman they have right now. And he said that he's ready to go. So the fact that they're healthy scratching this supposed veteran staple to your lineup gives me some hope. just a little sliver.
Yeah, and we're working on getting Devin back. He's having a little bit of issues right now, so we're working on
bad
that.
Bad signal.
Yeah,
he's missing all the
bad
he's
signal.
All
I
the
mean,
juicy
he's...
parts of this debate. Speaking of the devil.
Speaking of the devil.
Hello,
and Shalopee,
hello. What are we talking
hey,
about right now?
Hey,
ghost and
we're
Proby.
Still talking
I'm
about
also
ghost
saying
Proby.
How.
What's your?
I have a. I okay. So I want to say, the reality is that as of right now, thus far, Ghost has been better. But I believe that Provorov will be a better defenseman than Ghost, and Provorov will be like a Norris candidate. But I think Ghost is definitely underrated his defensive ability when compared to Provorov. Like Ghost has been a good defensive defenseman, a good so like I really agree with a lot of what Kush was saying. But it's not to take away. I think Provorov will end up being a better defenseman than Ghost. Ghost also had a head start, so
should
there's that. But overall, I think as of like, especially when you look at last year, like Ghost had better stats.
Should Ghost be used on the penalty kill? I'm saying definitely,
yes.
Especially on this team.
I said he
why
should
not?
Be on this team, but would he on?
I think
would
he should
another
be.
Team,
yeah.
Well, no. Ideally, you wouldn't want to use an offensive weapon. On the PK because you want to rest them to try to score goals, but it's not because Ghost couldn't play on the penalty kill. He'd be really good. You know who else should be on the penalty kill? It should be you should just send out Drew, Couturier, Ghost, and Provorov, and you'd have a decent penalty kill. But
you would have a
tired.
Great finish. But yeah. But we have Yuri Laterra and Dale Weiss.
Rolls, Drew,
okay?
Rolls.
The idea that good players can't play the penalty kill is silly.
It's
like,
bullshit.
Good players would be great on the penalty kill, but you don't want them to have to kill the penalty. That's the
do you remember? Do you remember a time when before Giroud became the best player in the world that that's Laviolette's words, not mine. That when he did kill penalties and he was good at it.
My,
do you remember that?
Yeah, no,
Pepper
he was always
Farm,
my
argument.
Every Farm remembers.
My argument for using players like Ghost or Drew and all the good players in the penalty kill is like, I get it. Maybe back in like, I said this already to Drew, but you weren't here. But like the players back in the 70s or 80s, yeah, like you want to rest them as much as possible. But the players today, they're all on specialized diets, they're on workout routines. I think 2 extra minutes a game, I don't think that would be anything for Ghost. 2 or 4 extra minutes.
So, hang on, I do have a stat. The other thing about having like players like that on your penalty kill is you create offense from your penalty kill, and that being in shorthanded goals. And in the 4 seasons that Dave Haxtell has been our head coach, we have a whopping 10 shorthanded goals. We have 2 this year. We have 10 shorthanded goals. That's tied for 29th in the league with Vegas, the only team worse. St. Louis, 9.
Well, that's because – well, okay, St. Louis, who was their coach for that all that time?
Mr. Defensive Guy, Ken Hitchcock.
Right, and so it's because Haxtell is, like, allergic to offense. Like, penalty kills should try to take advantage of a forward playing defense
and try to score a shorthanded goal every now and then. Like, it's not the worst strategy in the world, but the penalty kill is just a mess, dude. It's pathetic. I can't even talk about it anymore. It's just
also, Kush. Real quick, because I looked it up. Ottawa Senators are 7th in that time frame with 22 shorthanded goals.
I remember at
4-on-5.
When the Flyers had a really good penalty kill. Yeah. And they were dangerous. Mike Richards was scoring shorthand goals all the time.
I'm not, like, super concerned with scoring shorthanded goals because I know they're kind of rare. But I think to Drew's credit, having a player like Ghost would open up more opportunities for that. But I just think the overall getting stomped on the PK would not happen.
But imagine the penalty killers that we had when you had Vandevelde and Belmar play together. They had a 2-on-1, like, a bunch of times. And how many did they score on? Maybe one. Right?
You know what else is frustrating?
You switch those roles to a Claude Giroux, and, like, it doesn't matter who else, you're getting more goals. You're creating
I heard this idea on another podcast. I think it was Broad Street Hockey. And it was basically saying that they should just roll with 3 lines. Like, screw the 4th line, just use 3 lines. These guys are superstar athletes now on, you know, crazy routines that they should be easy enough for them to handle having an extra line down. And I kind of agree.
I think they would get blown up 70 games in.
I don't know.
What's the point of having 3 lines? Like, what do you do with the extra players?
Yeah, you take it.
The fourth
you
line?
Take them out, and then suddenly you don't have not as good players playing the game anymore.
I mean, 5 minutes a game is a lot.
Eh. But you could 5 minutes, like, what, your fourth line is what, playing 10 minutes? I think you can distribute that over your other 3 lines and still be fine.
Well, that's what teams usually do it in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
I
understand what Drew's saying, where, like, over 70 games or 80 games, that not work well.
Yeah. You can do that in the playoffs. That's fine, but you can't do that for a regular season. You'll blow up your entire team. Now, what the other thing that a fourth line is good for, not in Philadelphia because we have Dave Haxtell as our coach, but is to bring youth into the game instead of just, you know, veteran, quote unquote veteran presence with, like, Yuri Lateras and Chris Vandeveldes.
Well, I think today it's being used as a gateway for youth players to come in, which I like. But for Dave Haxtell, it's all about veteran players and stuff. Although, what, we have Lawton on the fourth line now.
The fourth line should be good.
Yeah.
The fourth line should be,
like, you shouldn't just throw the fourth line away. You should have a good fourth line. They should be a threat.
Having veteran players if they are good veteran players on your fourth line.
You want a fourth line, like Dev said, that has a threat to score. Not necessarily they're going to go out there and, like, a threat like a Claude Giroux or Ovechkin or Crosby, where, like, okay, they have the puck, they might score or might set up a play to score. You want a fourth line that isn't necessarily the greatest skill guys, but work together as a line and drive play.
Right. I think a fourth line is a line that has, like, maybe an old guy past his prime that used to be really good, and then a couple young guys who haven't proved themselves yet.
But like,
like, that's what I think.
Like, even players
be.
Like
a fourth line should be gritty. Yeah.
Okay, Drew.
It should be.
Yeah, if those gritty players are good.
But it should be gritty in the fact that they're driving play. If it's gritty like Yuri Lehterä, who's just, like, there.
I don't even think they're that gritty, though. Like, Dale Weiss was supposed to be, like, super rugged, and, like, he was supposed to be the type of...
He was supposed to be a scoring player.
Yeah, well, he was supposed to... Yeah, and he was supposed to be a guy that, like, roughs other players up, and he's done none of that. I mean, granted, I don't want to rag on him too much. He's been okay for the past couple games. I'll give him that much, but he's...
Nah, I'm not giving him
for the past 2 years...
The worst...
Ooh, I have to rant. We brought up Dale Weiss.
Yeah.
What? So Dale Weiss is the guy. He's the guy this year. Last year, I forget who it was. The year before, it was Andrew McDonald. Like, there's always just a guy that the Flyers picks as the guy they're going to, like, pump up. And Dale, like, Konechny, I think, scored.
It was Brandon Manning last year.
Yeah, it was Brandon Manning last year.
I think Konechny scored. Someone scored against the Sharks, I believe. Where Dale Weiss happened to be in front of the net. It was a screen. And they talked more about the screen than anything else. And I wanted to be like, literally every goal
there's a screen. Like, it's just a screen is just a standard play in hockey. You screen the goalie. It's not impressive. You know, Wayne Simmonds does it all the time. It's not like something that we have to like talk about. It's not exciting. There's nothing cool about a screen. Anybody can do it. And it was like 45 minutes about Dale Weiss setting the screen. He deserves to be on the third line because he set a screen. Are we serious? Like, can we just let that go? He shouldn't be on the third line. He's on the third line because he's playing well and there's no one else to go there. But he's not a third line player. He's a fourth line player. Just let
absolutely. It go. Absolutely. And granted, like I said, I think he's been better than he has been the past 2 years, which I think is surprising a lot of people. But you're right. Dale Weiss is getting the Brandon Manning treatment from last year, the Andrew McDonald, Chris Vanevelde from the year before. I think players look.
Just guy that isn't good that we're going to talk about like he is.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just talk about, you know, Nolan Patrick. Like, talk about the players that are actually
good. Yeah, I don't know why they don't pump up the actual good players. Like, I don't know why half of NBC is trying to convince us that players, like, we absolutely need Christian Follin in the lineup, or we absolutely need Dale Weiss
screening. The media, the Flyers media is awful. Like, it's just. It's a charity case. Like, we're just going to say good things about players that aren't doing so well so the fans aren't mean to them. And that's not what Philadelphia is supposed to be. Like, you don't see that. Like, a really good Eagles player can have a bad game, and they're going to talk about it all week about how, you know, Carson Wentz had a bad game. Carson Wentz had a bad game, you know, and it's like he's one of the most beloved players.
Dude, Carson Wentz had a bad game, and we talk about how we should bring back Nick Foles.
Right, exactly. And Nick Foles, that we were talking about, bringing Sudfeld in last year when Wentz went down. So, like, but to bring back to the Flyers, if Dale Weiss has a bad game, instead of crucifying him, like John Borick, Al Morgani, Keith Jones, they should be leading, like, this guy isn't pulling his weight. He's being paid $2 million a year. He sucks. But instead, it's like, he's on a screen and he's a character guy. And it's like, what is this? Why are we being so nice? Like, Andrew McDonald shouldn't be getting, like, the we feel bad for him because people don't like him because he sucks treatment. It should be like, yeah, the fans don't like him because of this, that, and this. Look how bad he's playing. Like, that's what it should be. This is a bad contract. Like, that's what we should be talking about. But you don't hear it from them. You hear it from blogs and podcasts.
It's because all the guys that are announcing these games and talking about these games, they feel personally attacked if you – because they're all good hockey boys from back in the day. So if you say something about how those players are bad, well, then you must be saying – insinuating that they're also bad.
That's a good point.
So they – I feel like most
of them – they feel personally attacked.
I feel like most of them, like that most of the people who do go into broadcasting were players that weren't superstars. They were just players that, like – yeah, you know, do like fourth line players like Dale Weiss. So they see him do something good. They're like, yeah, that's what we like to see. That's the game that we played. So that's the game that they should play. And he's doing it.
Right. It's frustrating. Yeah. You know what they should do? They should get less hockey players to be in the media.
It's weird how that like makes sense.
I see that a lot too. Like, I honestly see better analysis come from people who don't even play hockey. They just spend their time analyzing it, and I see better analysis in that than people who've played it and, you know, have been broadcasting for a long time.
It's the same reason why Wayne Gretzky can't coach. Just because you're the best at it, or really good at it, doesn't mean you can explain it.
Yeah, I think there's
doesn't
different
mean you can translate it.
This is Wayne Gretzky coaching. Why don't you just do what I did and score 1,000 goals?
Right.
I can't.
Well, why not?
Well, you suck.
Well, it just happened to me. Like, I don't know. All right. So, I'm upset, boys.
Here we go. I was waiting for this.
I'm upset because Dave Haxtell is still our fucking coach. Apparently that buzzer is too. It is upset. That is my temper going off. Dave Haxtell
got the
has been around
button.
For 261. I was waiting for the curse word button.
It wasn't actually me.
Oh my god, he can't. 261 fucking games. And in that time, the Flyers have been 129, 93, and 39. Or in layman's terms, 129 losses or wins and 132 losses. So why is he the fourth longest tenured coach in the NHL currently? Well, 18th in goals for per game. That's fucking terrible. Second worst penalty kill in the NHL since becoming head coach, 78.1%. The only team worse, Ottawa, 76.8%. We're seventh in average penalty minutes per game at 10 minutes and 9 seconds. So what happens when you're really shitty on the power play and you take a lot of penalties? You fucking lose games. We're 17th in wins over that time, which is below average. 17th in wins after leading after two periods. That means we blow leads like crazy. We're tied for third in overtime losses, which means we can't get the job done under Dave Hackstall. 23rd in 5-on-5 goals. Tied for 29th in giving up shorthanded goals. Or getting shorthanded goals, sorry, with 10. 8th in penalty or power play goals, 151 goals on the power play, so we can do one, like, two things right. Let's see, my handwriting's terrible. Third worst at goals four at 5-on or goals against 5-on-4, 27 shorthand goals given up. Sixth most goals given up in the PK, 156. It's just absolutely fucking terrible. In 719 goals on 8,220 shots, so we do shoot the puck a lot because it's like top five. I don't have the exact number. 8.7%. The team with the most shots over that time, Pittsburgh Penguins, 9.5 shot percentage. That's a player thing, but it's also a driving play type of thing. I don't know. It's weird. Here's a weird thing. Wins in one goal games, our win percentage is a .488. So in games decided by one goal, the Flyers have a .488 win percentage. In games decided by two goals, we have a .595 win percentage. In games decided by three or more goals, we have a .429 win percentage. How are you that bad that you can't win close games and you just get blown the fuck out? But if you win by two, hey, we did it. It doesn't make any fucking sense. And of those one-goal games, we've lost 65 of them, 39 have been an OT. So we got 39 loser points. Fucking fantastic. The one good thing about the Flyers has been their faceoff wins percentage. 52.3. That's good for third in the NHL over the last 4 years. Except for when we're on the penalty kill. We have a 48.1% faceoff win percentage on the penalty kill. It just leads into more shit that is piling on. Then we make it to the playoffs. We made the playoffs twice in these 4 years when we're in our fourth year now. Flyers are 4-8 in 12 games. Six losses by three or more goals, 21 goals for, 42 goals against, 3.5 goals against per game, 1.75 goals for per game, a 6.7 percentage on the power play, 75% on the penalty kill, 16 minutes, 49 seconds of penalty minutes per game, and we're outshot 30-25 on average in the playoffs. He has an inability to manage games. He's just so fucking terrible. He's way too passive with the lead and just not aggressive enough when coming from behind. He puts so much emphasis on this veteran presence that comes around. Guys like Laterra and Weeds, Vandevelde, Belmar over young guys who aren't proven, may not be as good. Who knows? But we will never fucking know. Guys like Lindblom, with the exception of this past year. Lear, Jordan Wheel. Jordan Wheel spends more time as a healthy scratch for the past couple of years than fucking Vandevelde, who's only plays because he's a fucking North Dakota product. Having Manning and McDonald, Follin play instead of Sanheim, Myers against Sanheim up until this past year. But last year, why couldn't Sanheim play over Brandon Manning? Because Brandon Manning's hot garbage. You know what he's doing in fucking Chicago? Absolutely jack fucking shit. He's on their fucking bench. He's punishing young players for making mistakes and having a lack of punishment for veteran players for making the same exact mistake. You know what that is? That's a college mentality. This guy's a senior. He may make the same mistake, but we can't punish him for it. But you know what? You're a freshman, so fuck you. Sit in the press box. It's bullshit. Complete and utter lack of competency when handling goalies. Steve Mason should be still our goalie. But you know why he's not? Because Dave Hackstall wanted to pressure him. So he got his fucking goalie coach fired. And then the next guy didn't do shit. He just, whatever coach says. And then Mason got ran out of fucking town because of it. Elliott shouldn't be playing. Picard shouldn't be on an NHL team. Dwavereth, if he could stay healthy, should probably be our starting goalie. Why not give a shot to the Lion? He's got to be better than Picard. There's no emotion. There's no answers. There's no change. It's just mediocrity after mediocrity. And the worst part is he blames the fans. for lack of emotion at home, for lack of energy at home. And how about you do your fucking job and give us a team to cheer for instead of a fucking shit pile of dumpster trash? It's just a frustrating fuckfest on the ice every time at home, and he expects us to cheer. And because we're not cheering, they're losing. Hextall, just do your fucking job and fire his ass. Like, Jesus Christ. You don't even need to hire Quinville. Just give somebody a fucking chance other than Dave fucking Hextall, who's so fucking incompetent.
True. What if I told you that Dave Hextall wakeboards and fishes on a boat?
You're right, Kush.
Because that's what the media put out over the summer to try to deflect all the Dave Hextall hate. That he wakeboards.
Again, we need to write a piece to make the guy.
So he's cool. He wakeboards.
He lets his daughter pick the music out on his boat. So wow. He's a family guy. So he doesn't deserve this hate.
If this was the Eagles, we'd be writing articles about how he needs to be fired ASAP. But because it's the Flyers,
you
want to
know the difference between the Flyers and the Eagles?
Nice guy.
Flyers media is owned by the same people that own the Flyers, Comcast Spectacor.
You know, I hope if I ever do so terrible at my job that my boss wants to fire me, I hope that one of my friends is nice enough to write an article about how I wakeboard or do something.
No, I would write the article about how you're really good at beer ball.
Perfect. There we go. And then I'd be like, look, you can't hate me.
Yeah. So anything you'd like to add to that?
I've just one thing to pick out of there. And clearly the Flyers have shown it over the past several years. Face-off wins don't matter all that much. I mean, this year I think they're over 50% on the penalty kill. You were saying over Haxel's career they were like under 50. But this year they've actually been winning more faceoffs on the penalty kill, and it's still garbage.
Yeah.
It's great.
It doesn't
matter
that
much. Awesome.
And
it's
a good stat to have if you're a good team. Like, if you're a good team and you're winning faceoffs, that's great. It just means you're controlling the puck more.
Yeah, if you're a possession team and you hold the puck all the time and you win the faceoff,
but when you're
a
bad
puck
team
and you have proven that you don't give the puck up, so like that's bad for the other team. Exactly. It's something that helps you when you're already good, but doesn't really help you when you're bad.
It's this crazy thing. And the Flyers are.
I think the one
56.5% on
the
penalty kill and faceoffs this season.
The one thing that doesn't really make sense with this Hextall thing is that Hextall has acknowledged that the Flyers were trying to retool while also being competitive. I get being competitive doesn't necessarily mean that you're going after cups, but I also think if you throw out the words that you're competitive, that means you should be able to at least win a playoff series or two. And if that's the word that you're choosing to throw out to your fans, that we're going to stay competitive, and then that's what we should judge them on. If Hextall came out from the beginning and said, we're still rebuilding, we don't – I know they're not going to come out and say they're not going to be competitive, but if they just say that, like, you know, we're retooling, we'll see where we go, kind of like what other teams are doing, that's fine.
You talk about – competitive, like they're getting doubled up.
Yeah,
in the
exactly. They are getting destroyed. They're not even staying in the competitive range.
Yeah, I would if they lost one of those series in seven games and it was close.
Six
one thing, but like both
out
of the playoff
eight losses
have been
were by three or more
like they
goals.
Fun.
And six out of eight.
And we know why
that's
that
not
is
competitive.
It's because the players aren't exactly ideal in those playoff series, and the coach was terrible. But according to Hextall, that's still being competitive, which it's not.
Here's the thing about the playoffs, and this is in other sports, or you know, in football, you have a week to prepare for your opponent. Where in hockey and basketball, this doesn't happen. So during the regular season, you're playing a team once, and then you're leaving. So you can catch teams
off guard. But once the playoffs hit, all of your flaws will be exploited. And that's why the Flyers can be competitive during the regular season. But as soon as they hit the playoffs, they get blown out. And it's because teams go, all right, we know they can't handle a forecheck. So let's forecheck the shit out of them. And it's like, all right, they have a really dumb, bad defenseman back there. So just attack Brandon Manning and Andrew McDonald, and you'll get the puck back right away. And then that happens over a six game series, because it never makes it.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I think you're that's why win. You have other teams like, you know, St. Louis and Minnesota who can make the playoffs but then do nothing in it. It's because their system has severe flaws. And granted, you're right, I don't think the Flyers should be going in against the Penguins and saying, yo, we should probably win this one, but we also shouldn't be getting blown out, you know, losing 7-0 in game one of a playoff series. That's not being competitive. That's folding and having, you're right, just your weaknesses exposed on a different level that they won't normally get exposed during the regular season.
You know, it's just so bad. I'm looking at the playoff wins and losses. We won once by one goal, won twice by two goals, won once by three goals. And then you lose one goal game. You lose one goal game. Out of eight games, two games were decided by one goal. That's not competitive. It's just not. Like, you can say, okay, a two-goal loss could be competitive because it could be an empty net goal, right? No. That's fine. But only three games were decided by two goals.
I love how these college coaches that come in, and I'm mostly referencing Chip Kelly and then now Dave Haxtell, they're coming in and they're like, they're put forward as these guys who are going to provide so much offense. They're new, they're young, they're going to take the, you know, their respective leagues by a different angle, and they're going to be aggressive, and we haven't seen any of that. That's literally what Dave Haxtell was billed as coming in. He was supposed to be some new forward-thinking, offensive-minded coach that's going to put up goals. And after we had to deal with Craig Berube and his defensive system, I was like, okay, this sounds actually like it could work because our defense sucks and we need to score. And Haxtell hasn't done shit.
Well, I think Haxtell's biggest enemy is himself, and it's what Drew said about the college mentality of playing your seniors over your freshmen. If he played his best players over the last 3 years, including this year, based on, all right, who's the most talented, he might have better success. But when you're sending out Brendan Manning and you're playing Andrew McDonald as a top pair defenseman, your system isn't going to succeed. So I feel like it's kind of hard. It isn't hard to judge. His system isn't good either because he's all about the point shots, which have been proven to not be as successful as, drumroll please, passing from behind the net. Or even passing from the down low in the slot, cross ice passes. Shooting from down low is better than Ghost is great, but your offense should be centered around Ghost just firing off one-timers. Like, that's not good. But it might work better if you had Ghost, Provorov, and Sanheim as your top three defensemen over all these years, as opposed to Ghost and McDonald and Provorov playing with Hag or something. Although I will say I've been impressed with Hag so far this year. But I have to go. But before I go, this has been a very doom and gloom podcast. We're very upset. But I will say this. The Flyers always suck in October. They always turn it around. I still think this is a playoff team. JVR is coming back soon, so there's hope. It's, you know, but I think as long as Dave Haxtell is the coach, we'll never be.
Right, real quick, before Dev, so you can follow him on Twitter @DevNS 93. So, bye, Dev. Bye. Kush, anything else you want to add to? Because I know you're going to leave soon.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I mean, I agree with Dev. The Flyers should get better as we play on the season. I do think that they'll make the playoffs. I don't know if they'll still be competitive in the playoffs, though. And when I say, being a playoff team, that, okay, they make the playoffs. If we get matched up against a clearly superior team, like the Capitals, and we lose to them, that's fine. But if they make it competitive and show that they are taking a step forward, like, if they're getting blown out in games, not making it – you know, if they're going to lose the series, make it go to seven games. That's what I, at the very least, expect is a competitive playoff series. No more of this getting blown out. And I almost expect, like, if we get matched against a team that's beatable, we should beat them. And I think last season, again, maybe we don't beat the Penguins, but we should have made that more competitive. I think with the right coach, we almost could have beaten them. And it's tough.
We talk about this and we've said it a lot, is competitive. And if you make the playoffs 2 out of 3 years and you lose 6 of 8 games by 3 or more goals, you're not competitive.
That's not being competitive.
Just not.
That's just squeaking
That's
in
just
and
showing
then
up.
Getting, yeah, then just getting a race. Like,
if Hextall's idea of competitive is showing up, fuck you. Go away.
That's honestly, like, a part of me, like, I think of the grand scheme of things, and part of me says, you know, maybe the wild card spots should just not even be a thing. Because, like, and part of me doesn't want that because wild card teams can still win the cup, and I get that. But the other part of me looks at the Flyers, who make the wild card, like, every other year, and this team sees that as progress. They're like, oh, okay, we're still making the playoffs. We're still a competitive team because we're getting into the playoffs. But I would have almost rather have not made the playoffs last year. And then Hexel could have seen the glaring issues with this team and could have been a better team for this year.
Yeah. It's just so frustrating with this team anymore. And I hate it.
Yeah.
It's a sad thing to say that you hate the team that you love, but you do, you know?
Well, it's like I said before, the road trip. It's weird. I don't necessarily want them to lose games, but they certainly picked the wrong time to start winning them when Quenneville got fired.
They couldn't predict that, but yeah.
I know they couldn't, but like still, like it's not like they're gonna go in and purposely lose games. I understand that, but
yeah. Now what are we, the Penguins in 06 or 03 or whatever the fuck it was?
Yeah. Anyway, well, that's about all I got for this week.
Yeah, that's about all I got. So thank you, everybody, for watching. You can follow myself at TheBigDrew92 on Twitter, at DevinS93 for Devin again, at Flywalker1975, and you can follow the pod at Wiz_Wit_Hockey. Questions, comments, send us an email, WizWitHockey@gmail.com. Yeah, it's been a good one. We're back. We're going to try and get this bi-weekly like we're supposed to. But yeah, I've been Drew. Thank you all for listening. He's been Kush.
So,
and Dev's already gone. So y'all have a good day.